In a world where everyone can be so judgmental, this podcast takes the time to analyze daily dilemmas and controversies and provide unbiased information and research to help you make sense of life's complicated issues. Dr. Nikki is a clinical neuropsychologist who integrates her knowledge of psychology, neuropsychology, and culture to process current events and cases in an empathic manner from various perspectives. If you are ready to become more open-minded, come be the critic on our couch.
Good day, everyone. Hope everybody is having a fabulous day. Today, we will be talking about bipolar disorder. Now, this is a diagnosis that I think is quite misunderstood. Many people use the terminology and really don't understand what bipolar disorder is. I believe that for the most part, the general population really has only become aware of bipolar disorder recently. And that's really because of the attention that has been given by numerous celebrity actions. For example, I'm sure everybody remembers in 2007 seeing those videos and pictures of Britney Spears when she walked into a hair salon and asked for her hair to be cut. And the individual who was working there refused to do it because, after all, this is Britney Spears and you weren't about to go ahead and cut her hair. Well, she took the clippers and shaved her head. You guys remember that? This was during the time that I believe she was with Kevin Federline and he wouldn't let her see the two kids. Interestingly enough, I remember seeing this and him saying that he was not allowing her to see the kids because she was so unstable. And at that time, I'm thinking, oh, how dare he say that? This is Britney Spears. How can she be unstable? She is a world-renowned pop star. And interestingly enough, he was right. She was not stable. More recently, we have come to, again, draw attention to bipolar disorder because of who else? Kanye West. Now, Kanye West is someone that, you know, for many years has caused a lot of controversy. Most of us remember in 2009, which was only 2 years after the Britney Spears incident, when he jumped on stage during the VMAs and Taylor Swift was receiving her award for Best Female Video. And he decided to jump on stage and say, no disrespect, but the one that should have received this was Beyonce. You know, if he would have remained quiet for a longer period of time, he would have realized that Beyonce was getting or did get best video altogether. Beyonce, being the true person that she is, stepped aside and allowed Taylor Swift to finish her speech. But needless to say, a lot of people became upset over that in the sense, you know, how dare he? Well, and that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, for individuals with a bipolar disorder, those how dare they moments are really uncontrolled. So, you know, it's important to realize that the U.S. population is over 300 million and about 3 million people are diagnosed with bipolar disorder every year. That's a lot. So why don't we first discuss what bipolar disorder is? Well, most people say, oh, it's, you know, someone's mood changes. Well, that's not true because my mood can change throughout the day. It's much more than that. In order to diagnose someone with a bipolar disorder, they must have experienced first what's known as a manic episode for at least a week. And what is a manic episode? Well, it's a period of time where there is increased energy in at least three of the following symptoms: an inflated self-esteem or grandiosity. Well, we've all seen that with Kanye West, and Lord knows he's received a lot of criticism for it. There could be a decreased need for sleep. Many individuals who are in a manic episode can't sleep at all and will go even days without sleeping. They will become more talkative than usual or pressure to keep talking. One of the last manic episodes that many of us remember from Kanye West was when he moved away, I think it was to Wyoming, and then started stating that he was going to run for presidency. Flight of ideas or subjective experiences that are thoughts that are racing. These individuals can't stop thinking. It's all the time. And quite often they jump from one topic to the other. It's very difficult to follow them. They're very easily distracted. There may be increase in goal-directed activity, which may sound great because you're saying, oh, great, they're really focused. is to the point that it is exhausting. And they could have excessive involvement in activities that have a high potential for significant consequences. These people may go on spending sprees, sexual indiscretions, or foolish business investments. So you need to have at least three of those symptoms to be considered a manic episode to last for about 1 week. Now, there's also known as a hypomanic episode. And basically, these can last for at least 4 consecutive days. Same thing as those symptoms, but usually they're not as debilitating. Now, apart from having either a manic or hypomanic episode, there has to also be periods of time where there could be a major depressive episode. And, you know, depression is not just crying. It's way more than that. There has to be at least 5 of the following symptoms: depressed mood for most of the day, diminished ability to really concentrate. There's also a loss of interest and pleasure in almost all the activities, even those you may have previously enjoyed, significant weight loss or weight gain, insomnia or hypersomnia, what is also known as psychomotor agitation or retardation, meaning the individual is restless or excessively slowed down, fatigue or loss of energy, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, inappropriate guilt, and in some cases, recurrent thoughts of death. So for a bipolar disorder, the individual must have met at least 1 manic episode, and the occurrence of a manic and major depressive episode is not really explained by another disorder like schizophrenia. Now, there's also known as bipolar 2 disorder, which in this case, the individual may experience a hypomanic episode. Again, very similar to what we were talking about in terms of a manic episode, but not as debilitating. It is not severe enough to cause impairment in their social occupational functioning. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because there are many individuals with bipolar disorder that are able to go to work, are able to go to school, and are managing. But yes, they're still experiencing these episodes of hypomania and depressive moments. So again, this has become more prominent to many individuals because of celebrities such as Britney Spears and Kanye West. But there are numerous celebrities that have had bipolar disorder. Olympia House, which is a recovery center in Sonoma, made a list of probably some of the most famous people that have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And you'd be surprised of the individuals that are on this list. We're talking about dating back to Winston Churchill, Ted Turner, Sting, Frank Sinatra. I guarantee you many people were not aware that Frank Sinatra had at some point been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Russell Brand, Richard Dreyfuss, Rene Russo, Mariah Carey. Basically, she went public with her diagnosis in 2018 with an interview with People magazine. She reported, "Until recently, I lived in denial and isolation, in constant fear that someone would expose me. It was too heavy a burden to carry." Jimi Hendrix, Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's one that also fell victim to cocaine abuse. And we know that Jimi Hendrix was also another individual that fell victim to substance abuse. Francis Ford Coppola. We all know him as the director to The Godfather. Now, Demi Lovato at one point had revealed that she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at the age of 22. Most recently, I think I saw in the documentary that she did, she recanted that. She says that was wrong. Other individuals that I was even surprised to learn about, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Now, she was diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder. Carrie Fisher, which we all know from Star Wars, is someone who struggled with substance abuse for many years. And for some of our younger ones, Amanda Bynes. Now, Amanda Bynes, as you probably remember, started out as a child actress in Nickelodeon. And unfortunately, at some point, did fall victim to substance abuse. And she is one, like Britney Spears, that has been in a conservatorship for many, many years. Most recently, there has been a ruling that declared that the formal legal arrangement which saw Bynes' mother have control of her estate and personal arrangements were no longer required. The overseeing judge, Roger Lund, wrote that Bynes' team provided facts that the conservatorship is no longer needed. Now, some of you, and I know that it becomes quite confusing, don't really understand, well, why is it these, you know, very high-functioning, talented individuals need a conservatorship? Well, what happens with an individual who suffers from bipolar disorder? As we talked about a little while ago, there is a loss of control. There are some individuals that also fall victim to substance abuse as a way of self-medicating or alcoholism, and as a result, don't really fully think in terms of potential consequences of their behaviors. And that, of course, then leads to spending their money excessively, not really making good decisions, hence why a conservatorship is, in many cases, necessary. It's glad to see, however, that in many of the cases that were seen publicly, such as in Britney Spears and with Amanda Bynes, that steps have been taken to stop it when proof is demonstrated that the person is now capable. Now that becomes very tricky, because as Britney Spears was reporting, and of course this is what she has alleged, is that her father was controlling absolutely everything and therefore she couldn't make any decisions. So if someone suffers from bipolar disorder, does that mean they cannot make any decisions? No. What we see with bipolar disorder, that there are episodes. And there is a difference, again, as I mentioned, between bipolar 1 and bipolar 2 disorder. But this is a disorder that has to be treated. This is not something that's just going to go away. So individual who suffers from bipolar disorder will definitely have changes that can take place. We have seen numerous studies that bipolar disorder reduces the amount of gray matter in your brain. The parts of your brain that are usually full of gray matter help you, number one, process information, thoughts, and feelings, control your impulses and your senses, and regulate motor skills such as reaction time, balance, drawing, speech, and writing. So it's important to know that when the amount of gray matter in your brain decreases, you may have less control over your impulses. Reduced gray matter can also change how you process information, how you see things. This may explain why manic episodes often seem impulsive, like what Kanye West did, and careless and thoughtless. Less gray matter may also lead to feelings of sluggishness and frustration. Now, one of the things to also know is that bipolar disorder can shrink parts of your brain's hippocampus. Now, the hippocampus is responsible for processing our long-term memories. The right side of the hippocampus helps you associate certain places with specific memories, while the left side of the hippocampus regulates your verbal and visual memory. This part of your brain also helps you regulate how you respond to certain situations emotionally. When your mood shifts, your hippocampus changes shapes and shrinks. And a shrunken hippocampus can lead to depression, as well as memory problems, frustration, and irritability. Now, finally, we cannot talk about bipolar disorder without really talking about the change in your brain's chemical balance. In your brain, we don't only have structures. We also have neurotransmitters, and neurotransmitters are basically these little chemical messengers that go on in your brain. When you have bipolar disorder, the neurotransmitters in your brain change. Now, we have various types of neurotransmitters in our brains, and don't get lost with me, okay? I know this may sound a little bit boring, but it is important to understand because we all have this. We have norepinephrine and noradrenaline, which increases alertness, arousal, and speeds up our reaction time. And there's also serotonin, which regulates how happy or anxious or moody we may feel. When you have bipolar disorder, it really causes these neurotransmitters to fluctuate. These high levels of norepinephrine will definitely trigger a manic episode. It can also lead to becoming paranoid, anxious, and a total inability to focus or concentrate. If we have extreme high levels of serotonin, this can actually make you feel anxious and irritable and restless. Low levels of serotonin will make you feel depressed, with low self-esteem, insomnia. You can experience insomnia and poor appetite. So it's important to understand that in order to stabilize someone with bipolar disorder, number one, they really need to get a good understanding in terms of what the disorder is and what are some of their triggers. Also to understand what are some of the signs of the different episodes that they may experience so that they can develop some awareness and hence some coping skills. At the same time, medication is often necessary, especially for bipolar 1 disorder. With bipolar 2 disorder, sometimes just developing the effective coping skills is enough. For bipolar 1, medications, psychotropic medications are usually required. Why is that important to know? A lot of times people think, oh, you know, this is something I can just deal with on my own. Not so. This is something that it is quite important for an individual and family members to understand that many times their behaviors are completely out of their control. And hence, it's important for those who are around them to truly understand how to deal with sometimes the impulsivity and the depressive episodes that come along. But with treatment, it is very possible to manage this. Now, I recently saw a documentary that I'm going to encourage everyone to actually see, and this will be your challenge for this week. Many of you may have heard of him. I'm sure your sports fans have. His name is Ron Artest, and he was an LA Laker. And he has legally changed his name to Meta Satterford Artest. There is a documentary that is shown on him, which is known as The Quiet Storm. And this documentary is truly fascinating. It talks about this individual who made his way all the way up to the NBA and truly, truly struggled with mental health. I don't want to give away too much of the documentary, but it's important to know that he came very close to losing his career. But after receiving appropriate mental health services, he was able to overcome. And the diagnosis he had was from depression, bipolar disorder, and I had read somewhere, I believe, schizophrenia. In the 2010 championship with the Los Angeles Lakers, he actually thanked his psychologist for how far he had come. So I guess the main thing I would like for you to take from this is, you know, before we go ahead and start criticizing someone for their impulsivity, for, you know, these outrageous behaviors that they may do and say, it's very important to really take into consideration who they are, and in particularly if they do suffer from bipolar disorder, to truly understand that this is something that without treatment, it could very well be out of their control. So again, I challenge you today to take some time at some point and watch the documentary on Ron Artest, The Quiet Storm. I believe it's on HBO, and would definitely give you a better insight into the world of bipolar disorder. It has many faces and has many challenges, and hopefully with the right treatment, if you or someone you know is suffering from the disorder, you can indeed overcome. This is Dr. Santana, and thank you so much for listening with me today. Have a blessed day.